صاحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We are studying Surah Al-Baqarah, and today we'll inshallah discuss few ayat from the ruku' number 28, starting with the ayah number 222. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. ويسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض ولا تقربوهن حتى يطهرن فإذا تطهرن فأتوهن من حيث أمركم الله إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أنا شئتم وقدموا لأنفسكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم ملاقوه وبشر المؤمنين. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, they ask you concerning menstruation. Say it is a discomfort, so keep away from women during menses and do not approach them until they are purified. And when they have purified themselves, you may approach them as Allah has commanded you. For Allah loves those who repent, and He loves those who purify themselves. Your wives are like a tilth to you, so approach your tilth as you may will, and send forth for yourselves. Be mindful of Allah, and know that you are to meet Him in the hereafter and give good news to the believers. So we are in the context of answering some questions that people ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam is a total way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the believers that their life should be life of cleanliness, life of good morals, good manners, physically clean, spiritually clean, morally clean, all of these things. So some of these rules are also there. And in a very, these rules are given, but the language that is used by the Quran is a polite language, because it is a language that is, everybody can hear that and understand this. So not so very much explanation. Details come from the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ in the books of Islamic law. Those details are given, but the Quran gives you a basic points in a very decent and polite language. So the question is, they ask you, that means they ask you, O Prophet, about menstruation. Basically, the question about menstruation was not about what is menstruation, what are the details of menstruation. Basically, the question was the relationship between the husband and wife during a woman's monthly cycle. So what relationship people should have? This was in Medina. There was a Jewish community living there. For the Jewish community, during this time, they used to separate the women completely. They were almost isolated from the family during this time. Nobody was allowed to touch them. If they sit in some place, the place was considered as unclean. And if anybody come into contact with her or with her clothes or with her bed, have to wash themselves, and they were clean the whole day. They were unclean the whole day, as you have it in the book of Leviticus. The law is mentioned in the Bible, book of Leviticus, chapter 15, 19 says, when a woman has her regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days, and anyone who touches her will be unclean till evening. Anything she lies on during her period will be unclean, and anything she sits on will be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who touches anything she sits on will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. So that was a very strict law that were given there. So Muslims, the believers, of course, they had this question because they were aware of that. They were living with the Jewish people. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ, and this was natural to ask this question. So وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. It is a time of discomfort. It's a time of unease for the woman. And, or you can say, it is a time when it is unclean to have sexual relation with her. So قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى. Aza is has several meanings, discomfort, something that is annoying, something that is discomfortable, something that is inconvenient. All of these things have the meaning there, قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى. Or أَذًى could be something that is not healthy for this relationship during this time for you. So قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَعَتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. So keep away from women during menses. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that keep away means keep away from intercourse. Quran has used a kind of a polite way of mentioning that, but it is explained further in detail. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that nothing is forbidden except intercourse. So you can sit with her, you can talk to her, you can eat with her, and you can be in the bed with her, but without having the private, intimate relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَتَذِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. So keep away from women during their menstrual cycle. وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. And do not approach them. Approach them means, that means have this intimate relationship with them until they are purified. So you can see that the language is very, very subtle way explaining this point, but without going into any explicit detail. وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ. Do not approach them until they are clean. وَيَطْهُرْنَ. Until they are purified means that the blood stops, until the menses stop. So that's what it is, tahara. So actually it is permissible for a husband to approach his wife to have relation with her once the menses stop. The better thing is إِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ, that she not only does it stop, but also she should take a bath. So she should clean herself, purify herself. Then Allah says, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Then you come to them in the way that Allah has told you to do that. That means observe the right way, the natural way. Do not do things that unfortunately people do. They come from the anal kind of relationship and all of these things. No, what is natural way that Allah has put into human nature? What are the right way? What are the good way? What are the proper way? That means here is Amarakum Allah does not mean that Allah has given you commands on that or specified the ways of doing it, because Allah has not done that. But Allah has put this in your nature. So that's why our Mufassirin say, here the Amr is Amr Takwini, not Tashri'i. Here is whatever is given to your input in your nature. So that what is the decent way? So come to them in a decent way, in a proper way. And Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin, Allah loves those who do tawbah. Those who turn towards Allah again and again. That means if you make any mistake, make tawbah. If you have done that in the past, any mistake, do tawbah. Allah loves that you repent and you correct yourself, improve yourself, because Allah loves those who do that. That's why our ulama say that if a man has a relationship during her menses, a woman's menses, it is not haram. She will not become divorced from him or anything, but it is he must repent and give some sadaqah. So that's where the tawbah comes. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. And Allah loves those who purify themselves. So this is the point that is given. Of course, modern civilization, modern culture have totally forgotten that. You find that thing in all the ancient traditions, ancient civilization and religions. It was mentioned that during menses, sexual intercourse should not be done. Among the Hindus, there was a tradition that you find that in Manu's law, and then also in the Bible you have that, and in the Zoroastrian tradition, all traditions that had that, but people have today have forgotten that, and they think that this is all superstition. There is no superstition here. It's a messy time, so it has to be avoided, and one has to keep oneself clean. فَإِذَا تَظَهَرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those who repent and who do that again and again. If you make a mistake one time, make tawbah. If you make again the mistake, make tawbah. And then always keep yourself, try to keep yourself pure and clean. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْسٌ لَكُمْ. Your wives are like a tilth to you. It's a very symbolic way, a metaphorical way of explaining the that is one of the very important aspects of marriage is that husband and wife come together in order to have procreation. It is not just relationship is not just entertainment. Relationship is not just a pleasure. It is a pleasure. It is an entertainment, but at the same time, it is also as a purpose, and the purpose is procreation. So understand that, nisa'ukum harthul lakum, this is to cultivate, this is to have children. So you are, as you go to your ground, as you go to your tilth, or ground, or you can say your orchard, your, you go to your garden, in a similar way, that is the relationship that is there between husband and wife. So they are like your tilth, and approach your tilth as you may will. I mean, it's not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that you can go at this time and you cannot go at that time. You can go at any time. You can have relationship at any time, the way you want. And there are a few rules that are given by the hadith in this matter. Otherwise, it is your you together. You have to be together, enjoy together, and also at the same time think about that, that you are going to have children. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. قَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ means send forth for yourselves. Send forth for yourself, that means have progeny, children, whom you raise them up in the right way, give them the proper education, proper manners and morals, all of these things. Or just not that you just have this relationship, but also remember that is your relationship with Allah. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must always be there. So be mindful of your relationship with Allah, and be mindful of Allah. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, that means do good deeds. Good deeds are important. And that's why even in this relationship, you are supposed to go into each other with consciousness of Allah, with tawbah, with istighfar, and do the right thing. And وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and offer for yourself good deeds, good relationship. That must be there, honoring your wife, honoring your husband, all of these things that you should do. So be mindful of Allah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ, and know that you are going to meet him. That means even in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you that you also are going to meet Allah. أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and give good news to the believers. So every person, must be a believer, must be always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always trying to do good things and the right things. So this is the way how Quran handles this kind of inquiry and questions in this matter. In some other details are given in Surah Al-Ma'idah and other places. So we'll come to that inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ أَن تَبَرُّوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله غفور حليم للذين يولون من نسائهم تربص أربعة أشهر فإن فاووا فإن الله غفور رحيم وإن عزموا الطلاق فإن الله سميع عليم And make not Allah's name an excuse in your oaths against doing good or acting rightly or making peace between people. For Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. Allah will not take you to account for your oaths that you may have uttered without thought, but will take you to a task only for what your hearts may have conceived in earnest. He is of forgiving, most forbearing. Those who take an oath for abstention from their wives shall have 4 months of grace. And if they go back on their oath, Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. But if they are resolved on divorce, Allah is all hearing and all knowing. So then the question comes after that, because the issue of menses is not just that is sexual relation. The issue of menses is also related to marriage and divorce and idda, all of these things. So Quran also mentions these issues as well. And a question was about ila, that is husband swears and takes an oath that he is not going to have relations with his wife. So before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ Don't take your oaths, don't put the name of Allah by taking oaths, swearing that you are not going to do good things or you are not going to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you will not bring reconciliation between the people. And sometimes people take oaths that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help someone. I'm not going to take care of that person. Birr is take care of your parent, take care of your brother and sisters, help them in the time of their need. So somebody take an oath, say, I'm not going to do that. Just like happened in the time of the Prophet that Abu Bakr he used to help one of his relatives. He used to give him something regularly. But then this person was involved in accusing the Prophet's wife, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Bakr's daughter. So at that time, Abu Bakr took an oath. And he said, by God, I'm not going to help him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded him that don't take an oath of by saying that I'm not going to do good things. So your birr, your kindness, your help, that you do not take an oath like that, that I'm not going to, by God, I'm not going to help him. By not, I'm not going to do that to him. That should not be your attitude. Allah tuhibbuna yaghfir Allahu lakum. Though you don't feel like that Allah forgive you. And Abu Bakr came out and he said, I love that Allah forgive me. And I'm going to give him. And I'm not going to give him that, but I'm going to give him more. See, that was the attitude of that. So لَا تَجْعَلُوا اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لَأَيْمَانِكُمْ أَن تَبَرُّوا Do not make your oaths as a shield, as a way of stopping to do good things, stopping to do the things of taqwa, mindfulness of Allah, and bring reconciliation between the people. So boycotting the people, boycotting your family members, I'm not going to meet those people, by God, I'm not going to do that, Wallahi, I'm not going to do that. All of these things are wrong. And Wallahu Sami'un Alim, Allah hears and knows. So these two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned to warn that whatever you say, Allah hears. And whatever you do, Allah is aware of that. So be mindful of Allah. And do not do this kind of thing. This is wrong. that you stop yourself from doing something. So if somebody takes an oath and says that I'm not going to do that, by God, I'm not going to do that, the hadith of the Prophet says, then you break your oath. And of course, when you break your oath, then you have to feed 10 poor people. That is the kafara of Yameen. The kafara of the oath is feeding the 10 people. Or if you cannot do that, then fast 3 days. That is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So here the Prophet said, if somebody makes an oath and then that he will not do something good, then he should do good and break his oath and pay the kafara for that. Because he made an oath, so he should pay the kafara. It is very important that you fulfill your oath, but if the oath is for doing something good, then you should not. If you say that you will not do something good, then you, in this case, you should break your oath and pay the kafara, because oaths are important. It's a weighty matter. It is a serious matter, and a person should not take his oath lightly, especially if you mention the name of Allah. Wallahi, by God, this is the case. If you do that, then you have to be very conscious of that. Don't take false oaths, because it is a great sin. It is haram to take an oath on something false. To say, by God, I swear in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is the case or this is not the case. Be careful about that. Don't make your oaths as a shield between you and Allah. Don't display the name of Allah as an excuse that you do not do that. Wallahu sami'un alim. La yu'akhidhukum Allahu bil-laghwi fi aymanikum, walakin yu'akhidhukum bima kasabat qulubukum, wallahu ghafurur rahim. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will not hold you accountable on your frivolous oaths, because it is a custom, it's still in a custom among the Arabs and among some other people, that they use the word, by God, by God, by God, wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. For everything they use the word, wallahi, wallahi, I didn't do that, wallahi, I'll go do that, wallahi, I love you, wallahi, all this. So they see all this kind of thing. So this is called laghw fil ayman. That means a oath that is said in a casual manner, without much serious thought. There is no intention in that oath. La yu'akhidhukum, Allah will not hold you accountable for that. This is the way of speech for some people. So if it has become a habit, it has become a way of speech, then Allah will not hold you accountable. You are not committing a sin for that, although you try to avoid that. But still, if something comes out from your mouth and you say it without thought, Allah will not hold you accountable for that. You will not be held as a sinner, or you don't have to pay kafara in that situation. So la yu'akhidhukum Allahu bil-laghwi fi aymanikum. Allah will not hold you accountable about frivolousness, about carelessness in some of your oaths. Walakin yu'akhidhukum bima kasabat qulubukum. But he is going to hold you accountable. Something that you said it knowingly, consciously, and you earned it. That means this is, you said that I swear by in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is the case, or this is not the case, or I'm going to do that, or I'm not going to do that. If you have something like that, then you are responsible, and you will be held responsible, and you will be accountable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge you about that. Like yu'akhidhukum, akhada yu'akhidhukum means hold you and ask you on the day of judgment about that. So walakin yu'akhidhukum bima kasabat qulubukum. So Allah is forgiving the frivolousness, the thoughtlessness in the matters of oath, because Allah is most merciful. Allah is most forgiving. Allah is most forbearing. But at the same time, remember that thing that there is seriousness is there in the oath. So Muslims should be very conscious of that, that when you take an oath, do not take it lightly. Take an oath with seriousness, sincerely and truthfully. Say the truth and all the truth and nothing but the truth. That is, that should be the way of oath taking. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ يُولُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ فَإِنْ فَاءُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Those who take an oath for abstention from their wives shall have 4 months of grace. And if they go back on their oath, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Arabs had different kind of customs. One of the custom was that sometimes somebody, husband, will say to his wife, I swear that I'm not going to have any relations with you, any sexual relation with you. And sometimes they say it without putting any time limit, and sometimes they put some time limit. So it is, if somebody says that, that is called ila. In Islamic tradition, it's called ila from taking an oath. So it is an oath that is taken for separation, for abandoning, forsaking the wife. He is not divorcing her. He's not saying I divorce you, but he's saying I'm not going to be in bed with you. I'm not going to. It's a right. Husband and wife should be together and they should have their relationship. But if a husband refuses that and said, I'm not going to do that, not only that, but he swears and takes an oath. If somebody for some medical reason, health reason, something else, is not there, that's really different case. But he takes an oath on that and tell her, by God, I swear by God, that I'll not be with you. I'll not approach you, I'll not have relationship with you, something like that, then the rule comes. And the rule is, in this situation, there is 4 month waiting period. Tarabbus arba'ati ashhur. That is 4 months. It's only up to 4 months. That means if you have taken an oath and you are not having relationship with your wife, well, it can be allowed up to 4 months. Now, after the 4 months, you have either go back and have relationship with her. If your oath was for more than 4 months, then you pay the kafara and you come back. And if you are not, then your relationship will break. That means الَّذِينَ يُولُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ. So it is, you have to be very careful about that. It is not, you cannot leave your wife hanging. You are not having a relationship with her, which is part of the family, part of the marriage life, and also not divorcing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you can have up to 4 months. So if somebody says, swears without mentioning the time, or if somebody mentions the time, which is 4 months or less than 4 months, then in all of these things, they have to change themselves, and they have to do that within 4 months. And if it is more than 4 months, then it is of course haram, but then still it will be 4 months only. And then after that, there are jurists, our fuqaha, have difference of opinion. That 4 months have passed and he has not changed his mind. He doesn't say that you are to me as you were before. He does not say that. What will happen after that? 4 months have passed and he is not changing. He has taken an oath, but he is not changing his oath. Then some fuqaha say that after 4 months, the divorce takes place automatically. That means they are no more husband and wife. And they can confirm that through the judge, through the qadi, or through the mufti. They can do that, but again, 4 months have passed and he has not changed his mind. So according to some fuqaha, the divorce has taken place. According to other fuqaha, they say she has a right to seek divorce through the court, through the judge. the divorce has not taken place automatically, but she has a ground for seeking divorce. So if she wants to take divorce, yes, she can take the divorce. So this is because it is her right. But if husband and wife are separated from each other because he has a job somewhere and is traveling and for more than 4 months, and this is through mutual agreement, there's nothing. You can do that. A lot of the people, they go for work in overseas, and a lot of the people, they are outside because of some business, some work, and some education. That will be a different case. That will not happen. So only in the case of somebody has taken ila. Ila means has taken an oath. Alladhina yuluna min nisaihim. Alladhina yuluna min nisaihim. Those take an oath of abstention, forsaking their wives. They have up to 4 months. Fa'in fa'u, if they return, if they stop and they say, yes, we are resuming our relationship, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Inna Allah ghafoor rahim. Allah will forgive them. If they come back, because it is very important that they should come back. They should not keep it that way. وَإِنْ عَظَمُ الطَّلَاقِ. But if there is a decision to make divorce, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَبِينَ عَلِيمٌ. Allah hears and knows. Again, talaq should not be taken lightly, because remember, Allah hears what you say. Allah knows what you say. And knowing and knowingly one should not do that. So this is a very important point that is given here about the qasam. What qasam is important. And do not play with qasam. Do not play with oaths. Oaths are serious. And especially your oath in relation to your spouse, your wife. Husband and wife relationship should be based on love, on care and kindness. And this relationship is not a relationship of abandonment. And in those who abandon their wives, that is, she is mu'allaqa. She is like a hanging. She doesn't know whether she is wife or she's not wife. All of these things, and this kind of jahiliyyah customs were there, pre-Islamic customs, the customs of ignorance. Islam came to correct them. And there are many other customs like that. You read that in the Quran. Though the customs existed, and said, "Fa'in fa'u, fa'inna Allah ghafur rahim, wa'in azamu talaq, fa'inna Allah sami'un alim." But if they decide and they plan to have the divorce, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears and knows everything. So this is what is mentioned here. And then inshallah, after that, we come to the way of divorce, that is the right way of divorce and the wrong way of divorce. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن إن كن يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وبعولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك إن أرادوا إصلاحا ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة والله عزيز حكيم. Divorced women shall wait concerning themselves for 3 monthly periods. It is not lawful for them to hide what Allah has created in their wombs if they have faith in Allah and the last day. And their husbands have the better right to take them back in that period if they wish for reconciliation. And women shall have rights similar to the rights against them according to what is equitable. Allah, although men have precedence over them in this aspect, and Allah is exalted in power wise. So, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. If a woman is divorced from her husband, husband has divorced her, then she cannot just go and marry another person immediately. But she should wait for 3 menstrual cycles. Remember that the ayah spoke about mahil, about menstrual cycle. So menstrual cycle is related to iddah as well. يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ. They should hold themselves for 3 menstrual cycles. That is wait. And the waiting period is, the minimum waiting period is 3 monthly cycles. So those are who are divorced women. Those who are widows, for them it is 4 months, I mean 4 months and 10 days. Arbat Ashurim Ashra. And the women who are, who gone beyond the age of menses or they do not have menses, for them it's 3 months. So it is Salasatu Quru. Quru means menses. And so she going to wait until when the last mens will come, the third one, as soon as she is free from the blood discharge, her idda is over. Some other scholars say, no, she has to take a shower and she has to purify herself. And after the shower, it will be complete. So Salasata Quru, different interpretation for that, but it is, yes, these 3 monthly cycles that she wait, and then after that, she is free to marry someone, unless she is pregnant, unless she was pregnant, and the monthly cycle will prove that whether she was pregnant or not pregnant. So if something like that she is not having menses because of the pregnancy, and then she should not hide that. She should not conceal that. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ يَكْثُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَمِهِمْ. And it is not lawful for them to hide what Allah has created in their wombs. Because in that case, her idda will not be finished by 3 months. Her idda will be until she gives birth to the child. And the child belongs to the husband. So she has to wait for that. So once the monthly cycle, once the delivery takes place, and after the delivery, there is of course the postnatal bleeding, the postnifas that happens, then after that her idda will be over. After that she will be allowed to marry somebody else. So that is the idda of a woman who is pregnant. So idda of the woman who is not pregnant, idda the woman who is pregnant, idda the woman who is whose husband has died, the widow. Different rules are for that. So وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنْ. And it is not allowed for them, it is not halal for them to conceal what Allah has created in their wombs. إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If they believe in Allah in the last day, then they should not do that. And وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. If a husband wants to take her back and reconcile, then of course they have a right in during this time. If they want to have reconciliation, if they want to live peacefully and reconcile their differences, then they are they have much more right to do that. And so she should not resist, and she should not say, no, I'm not going to go back, or her family sometime comes in between and they stop because they think this was her husband insulted them, insulted the family, and it becomes like of their prestige. Our prestige is hurt that you have divorced our daughter and we are not going to allow you. Allah says, لَا وَبَعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Their husbands have more right for reconciliation if they want to be good, if they want to change themselves. So this is what is emphasized. And then in one short statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the relationship between husband and wife. Allah said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. لَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ. They have duties as well as they have rights. Just as they have rights, in a similar way, they have duties. Husband also the same thing. Husband has certain duties, husband has certain rights. So wife has duties, wife has right. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ. It is upon for them as it is on them. Husband and wife, yes, in marriage, husband has لِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. In marriage, man has a higher degree, a little higher degree, because he is the one who maintains, he is the one who provides for the family life. So if for that, لِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً, in this particular respect, man has a precedence. man has a higher degree, but that higher degree is the degree of responsibility, providing for that. Otherwise, husband and wife are together in the worldly matters. But in Akhirah, there is no degree above for men or between men and women. Men and women will be equal on the day of judgment, and no one has superiority over another, nobody has precedence over other. But in the family life only, in the husband and wife relationship, man is the head of the household and he has that degree. And that degree is the degree of responsibility. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Allah is mighty and Allah is wise. So these rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the rules that are based on the wisdom and understanding and all the knowledge. Allah is exalted, Allah is powerful, Allah is wise, and He's giving you these rules. So mutallaqat, divorced women, they have certain duties. And in these duties is the husband and wife both. If there is divorce, then they should try to reconcile. And that is, this is when the divorce is given one time, or if the divorce is given second time. So these two times, they can reconcile. And that's why one has to be extremely careful. One person has said to his wife, I divorce, there is time, 3 months time, three cycles time. In this three cycles time, they can change their mind and go back and reconcile. He doesn't have to say a second time. He doesn't have to say a third time. Some people think that talaq will not happen unless one says three times. No, in one time. One time is enough. And if another problem come and then second time when divorces, so then again they can reconcile. But only thing is when the third time it does that. The third time when this happens, then after that it is not allowed to reconcile. But that will be total separation, and that's called talaq mughallaz. It is the serious talaq, absolute talaq in that situation. We'll come to that point. But this is only in the case first time or second time. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ So divorced women shall wait concerning themselves for 3 monthly period. And this is after 3 monthly period, that the separation will take place. That means she will not be wife anymore unless she was pregnant. If she was pregnant, then she has to wait until she delivers the baby. And then after that, during this time, if husband and wife want to reconcile, they can do that. And they both should remember that they have duties and responsibilities. They have rights as well as duties and responsibilities. Allahu Aziz and Hakim, Allah is mighty, Allah is wise. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand this message and live by it and correct our affairs, our relationship on the basis of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have any questions, you can take the questions, inshallah.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Just returning to the matter of divorce, if a husband divorces his wife during pregnancy, is that divorce, is that effectively invalid?
He should not do that. I mean, this is a terrible thing that she is carrying his baby and he is divorcing her. So that is the time of showing more love and more kindness and reconcile. But if he does that, the divorce takes place. Yes, divorce takes place during the pregnancy, although it is not the right way. So we say in the Islamic terminology, there is a way of divorce that is called the Sunnah way, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that the right way of divorce, no divorce is good, but still, there is a proper way of divorce and there is an improper way of divorce. The proper way is that one should divorce, one is allowed to divorce his wife when she is not pregnant, when she is not doing menses, when she is clean, and they both can have relations with each other, but he has not had relationship. So she had her menses. After that, she took shower But still, he did not approach her. If that means that now the issue is serious, that means they're distant between them. They are not only coming close to each other, even at the time when there is attraction to come close to each other. And this time, if he divorces, that we call proper way of divorce. So, fi tohrin lam yamassaha fi. In her pure cycle, in her pure situation, when he has not touched her, that means he had not had husband and wife intimate relationship with her. Otherwise, if somebody divorces his wife during menses or divorces his wife during pregnancy, the divorce takes place. Divorce takes place, although it is not the proper way.
Thank you. And then, Dr. Siddiqui, there are some couples that divorce, that separate without any formal proceedings. How is that? They don't go through any paperwork or any kind of Islamic paperwork, but they separate.
Separate means they just are not together.
Correct.
But husband has not said that I'm divorcing you.
No, but they themselves, amongst themselves, consider it a divorce without any paperwork. How is that?
No, this is not divorce. Divorce will be that husband says to his wife that I divorce you, or he says, by God, I'm not going to be with you. That means 4 months after that, she will be divorced. If he did not say that, by God, I will not do that, he did not take an oath, but simply they separate, then the divorce will not take place. However, after 4 months, she has the right to apply for divorce. But separation itself is not a divorce. Separation could be many reasons for separation. Sometimes people have some fight, and she goes to her parents' home or some other place, and he goes somewhere. So that happens, and then they can reconcile. So that will not be divorce unless he has taken an oath and 4 months have passed. That will be a different situation.
Thank you. And Dr. Siddiqui, I know you'll be talking later on Thursday about the day of Arafah, but if you can briefly touch upon why fasting is recommended on the day of Arafah and its virtues.
It's a very blessed day. It is the greatest day of the year. The Hujjaj are in Arafah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at them with his mercy, with his love, with his kindness, and forgives them. And so this time, the people who are not at Hajj, they should try to be with them spiritually. In their hearts, in their mind, they should be with them. And that's why it is mentioned that the best day of fasting is the day of Arafah. Because when those who fast on the day of Arafah, Allah will forgive them their sins of this year and another year. So this is the great day for fasting and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. Afdal dua, dua of Ahl Arafah. La ilaha illa la ilaha illallah wa la sharika la lahul mulk wa lahul hamd yuhyi wa yumitu wa ala kulli shayin qadir. So this dua is a very, very beautiful dua. And other duas, you know, that when people are in Hajj, they stand between Asr and Maghrib, and then they make dua. This is called mawqif, that is standing in Arafah, and then this long dua, they do that. So it is nice to have a dua. You don't have to stand up, but still you can make dua, you can fast. And fasting is highly recommended. Rasulullah SAW used to fast on the day of Arafah. And before iftar, dua is most acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we'll talk about what is Arafah. And what is the day Arafah? What is the significance of the day Arafah? And then inshallah, we'll make dua together. If anybody wants to join, you can join that. We'll make dua for ourselves, make dua for our families, We make dua for our children. We make dua about this pandemic that is affecting the humanity, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this this trouble from all of us, inshallah.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, can you touch upon the iddat period for widows? There's a cultural pressure and that imposes perhaps more restrictions that are specified. Can you talk briefly about that?
The iddah for a widow is 4 months and 10 days. This is for any widow, whether she is young or old. Every widow has to have, unless she is pregnant, if she is pregnant, then after the delivery of the child, her iddah will be over. Otherwise, 4 months and 10 days. I mean, if a woman was pregnant and she delivered the baby a month after the death of her husband, her iddah will be over from that time. But it is otherwise, it's 4 months and 10 days. That is for the widow. And during this time, she is not supposed to beautify herself for the purpose of marriage, so that she attracts somebody to make an offer towards her. And she should not entertain any offers at that time. So she should avoid that. So this is the time. But if she has a need to go for work, she has a need, nobody else can help her, then she can go and do her basic shopping. She can do that. But she avoid the socialization, so avoid something else, try to be remember her husband, make dua for him. And that is the Prophet said, that is the aza for the mayyit, for the dead person, the period of mourning is 3 days, not more than 3 days, except for the wife, that she can do, she has to do that for 4 months and 10 days. So during that time, do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Just want to remind everyone that we will continue with our hadith and tafsir class next week at the same timings. But for now, let's talk a little bit about how events are looking for later this week. On Thursday, July 30th, which of course is the day of Arafah, Dr. Siddiqui, as he just mentioned, will be talking on the significance of the day of Arafah, and his talk will conclude with a special dua. So do please remember to tune in to Zoom, Facebook, or YouTube. The talk will start at 7 p.m. And then, of course, Eid will be the next day on Friday, July 31st. And just like last time, we will broadcast live the Eid message from Dr. Siddiqui, but we will pray at home. And then later, we will have the Jummah prayers by prior registration, just like we've been doing. Then in the evening, we will be holding a drive-through at ISOC with some treats and goodies so that we can still enjoy a celebration with our community, family, and friends. The drive-through will be from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. So you will be receiving a special newsletter with all the details. So do look out for that in your email to get all the information, and keep checking the dedicated website, eid@isocmasjid.org, for all Eid-related events and details, and also to register your arrival time for the drive-through and all the details about how to pray the Eid prayer. So just a reminder, that's eid@isocmasjid.org. This is Sabiha wishing us all good health. Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for a concluding dua.
Inshallah, barakallahu fikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa qalban khashi'an wa rizqan wasi'an. اللهم إنا نسألك التوبة قبل الموت والراحة عند الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء، اللهم ارفع عنا هذا البلاء، اللهم ارفع عنا هذا الوباء، اللهم احفظنا من كل سوء، رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك الرجوع والسلام حينا ربنا بالسلام وأدخلنا الجنة دار السلام ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا والله we pray to you to bless us and those who are sick among us oh Allah give them healing and shifa and those who passed away oh Allah give them maghfirah oh Allah keep us on the right path and save us and protect us صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب